Hey, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So, today's episode, I wanted to talk about the book Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. Okay, I don't know whether you've ever heard of it. The author is Susan Jefferson. So, I'm basically summarizing it in this episode. And I will obviously tie it into fat loss as well. But I did mention probably at the start of the year that I wanted to cover stuff about fat loss on my podcast, mindset, etc., but also other things that kind of relate to overall well-being. And that's sometimes, our mental health, how we see the world, avoiding things because we don't feel ready or because of fear, etc., like being a prisoner in our mind, anxiety and stuff like that. And I remember at the start of the year, I went on a solo trip. I went away for 4 days and I went by myself. I was working with a brand. I was working with Love Holidays, and now they said to me, "You can bring someone if you want." And I said, "No, I actually want to go by myself, and I want to see how I get on." Now I only had a certain amount of locations that I was allowed to choose from. So ideally, I would have went somewhere where I felt comfortable. Okay, big brackets around comfortable. So that could have been like Lanzarote, full of Irish, know loads of people over there who live there. Like my aunt is always over there. I could have went over and it wouldn't have been a challenge, okay? Because I would have felt comfortable. I wouldn't be going outside my comfort zone because I was going over to someone who I knew there. I wouldn't feel alone, etc. So I set the challenge to go somewhere I've never been before by myself. Maybe a place that wasn't full of Irish, English speakers, etc. Because I wanted to step outside my comfort zone, okay? And I was really, really nervous going on that trip. Really anxious. Like I had like an irrational fear that what if I can't handle it? What if I want to go home? Like what if I hate it? What if I can't hack it because I'm just too uncomfortable? I don't like the fact that I'm there by myself. I can't talk to anyone. I have to do everything by myself. But although I felt that going over and the first few hours of being there, I felt a bit uncomfortable. There was also that sense of like empowerment. Like, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I'm doing this. Like, I'm here by myself. And it felt weird for the first few hours that I didn't have anyone to kind of lean on. Like, oh, where'll we go for lunch? Where'll we go for dinner? Etc. And the whole, I'd say, couple of weeks, maybe month leading up to that, I knew like a month beforehand that I was going. I was imagining the worst. I was imagining that I wasn't going to be able to deal with it, that I wasn't going to be able to hack it, that I'd, worst case scenario, want to go home. But that was just like the inner child in me thinking, oh, I was like, I remember I lost my mother in a supermarket before when I was a kid, and it was like my world was ending. I thought like she just literally disappeared off the face of the earth, and I had to go to a security guard. It was like in a local Dunnes Stores, and I was only like 5 or 6 at the time. And when you're like walking around like the clothes area of like Dunnes Stores, like the curtain rails, not the curtain rails, sorry, the clothes rails, they were obviously a lot higher than me. So now I'm obviously a lot taller because I'm an adult. I would be able to spot my mother, but because the clothes rails were taller than me, I'm looking around and I can't see like the top of anyone's head. I panicked. I ran over to the local security guard crying, like, where's me mammy? Where's me mammy? I often talk to this about my therapist, and sometimes that comes back to haunt me. And it did as well. Like whenever I went on holiday or I stayed over in a friend's house when I was a kid, I would kind of have that fear of like being left behind or being abandoned and stuff like that. So I did actually find it very difficult to leave home and go on holiday because I was so attached to my mother. But anyway, it is like the inner child in me when I was going away by myself. That was the part of me, like, what if you can't handle it? What if you can't do it? And I was able to do it, and I got through it, and it wasn't as bad as I thought. Although, yes, it was a bit lonely at times. I found that making a little itinerary, like a to-do list every day, did help fill up time rather than waking up every day and thinking, how am I going to fill all this time? I'm here by myself. So it would be go for a walk, go get a coffee, get your steps in, go do a gym session, come home, maybe do some work on the laptop, go to the pool and read a book for an hour, then go get dinner. There was always something to kind of look forward to, so I didn't feel like I was just twiddling my thumbs, because when you are sitting by yourself for a long period, that's when loneliness can kind of creep in. I do it at home. I sit, by myself a lot. I love my own company, but I always know that, my mother's always down the road, my friend is only across the road, etc. You never kind of have that fear. But when you're in a different country, you have to travel by plane to see someone. And also, I would ring my mother every night and just have a conversation with her. And that was actually the only time that I spoke to someone. I think the only conversation I had was with like a waitress who worked in that area. It was in Fuerteventura, it was a place called Morro Ablé. So Coralaco was kind of where like all the Irish go and stuff. But yeah, I got through it and I was actually dead proud when I came home and I was like, I can't believe I thought I couldn't get through that. Now, why am I bringing this up and what has this got to do with the episode? Because I'm traveling to Australia next week, okay? And I'm doing two stopovers. So I had to change my flight because of the stuff going on in the Middle East. I was originally only doing one stopover in Doha and I had to change my flight. So now I'm flying to Germany from Dublin, Germany to Hong Kong, and then Hong Kong to Melbourne. Okay. And I'm going to be in Melbourne for 2 days. And then I fly to the Philippines. I'll meet my friend who lives in Sydney. She's going to meet me in the Philippines. We're going to have a 10-day holiday there together. We're going to have a great time. Really looking forward to it. Then we fly back to Sydney together for a few days. I have a show there. And then we fly to Perth together. She's going to come to Perth with me. And then I go home to Dublin from Perth and she'll go back to Sydney. But the thing that I'm kind of like nervous about is, you know, this long haul flight, like traveling by myself for like nearly, I suppose, a full day, you know. But I've done it before. So why am I so nervous? Why am I anxious? You know, and it's because I'm going outside my comfort zone. I am taking a route I haven't taken to Australia before. You know, last year I flew business class when I was flying to Thailand and I went to Australia then from Thailand. I was meeting my friend Sarah, who I will be going to the Philippines with. I met her in Thailand. She arrived the same day I arrived, and we had a 10-day holiday there. And then we went to Australia, where I went and done shows then. And then I went home from Sydney. But when I flew business class last year, you know, I was on the buzz of life. Can't believe I get to do this. You know, it's something I only ever dreamed of. I was obviously really excited about going to Australia and doing a show over there and stuff. And, you know, I was really, really excited. But the fact that I was in business class and I was traveling in comfort, had a couple of drinks, obviously, to kind of like calm the nerves, I didn't know bother. You know, I had something to be really excited about and I knew I was going over to meet my friend. But this time around, I'm traveling to Australia. You know, I'm basically going to be on three flights. I'm doing a 2-hour flight to Germany, an 11-hour flight to Hong Kong, and then an 8-hour flight down to Melbourne. And I'm thinking, oh, what if I can't handle it? I'm going to be alone. What if something happens? What if I miss one of my connecting flights? Because my brain is trying to protect me and it's trying to think of every outcome possible to protect me. And that's what your brain does in every scenario in your life. It's something that you're unsure of, you're starting a new job, if you're going on a first date, etc. Your brain will come up with the worst case scenario, so you're prepared for that. But you find it very hard to think of the best case scenario. Do you ever notice that? Like, I find it hard to sit here and think, what if everything goes well? What if, you know, there's no complication with the flights? What if I end up meeting someone on the flight and we have a bit of crack and, you know, it's not so lonely? Like, try envision the best case scenario. Because when I was flying home from Australia last year, I had to fly in economy by myself and I had to fly for 25 hours and I survived it. Last February in 2024, I had to travel to Arizona by myself, which was I think a 6-hour flight to Boston and then another 6-hour flight from Boston to Arizona by myself. And I was really, really scared. Even though I met people in Arizona that I was going to be working with for 5 or 6 days, and then I had to travel back by myself too. But I was really, really nervous traveling on my own. That was the first time that I traveled long haul by myself, before even Australia had come into the equation. And I survived it. And it was actually really cool. And, you know, it was quite liberating. And I couldn't believe how calm I was in the situation. Even though weeks or months leading up to it, I was very, very anxious. And I was thinking, oh God, what if this happens? What if that happens? And then on the day, you know, in reality, the worst doesn't happen. And you actually deal with it and you actually survive it. And I live by that kind of mantra that, you know, feel the fear, do it anyway. And I'm becoming kind of a big believer in what is the universe trying to teach me with this? You know, whether it's having a falling out with a friend, whether it's seeing other people who started after you in your industry getting more opportunities than you, or you know, something that makes you scared or anxious. What is the universe trying to teach me? Okay, it's trying to teach me patience. It's trying to teach me to be brave. You know, it's giving me the opportunity to be brave. It's giving me the opportunity to be patient, and that's a good way to look at it. But I'm just going to kind of delve into the book Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, because I feel I've been looking at that now over the last kind of week or two leading up to traveling to Australia. So even though I'm excited, the kind of irrational side of my brain is thinking, oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? And then I just kind of bring myself back down to reality and remember that, Enya, you have gotten through many similar situations before and survived. And it's funny, when I come home from these trips, I'm like, I can't believe I spent so much time stressing out and worrying about something so irrational. And I survived in the end. I got through it. Nothing even happened. I actually ended up having a great time. I laughed so much. I made so many memories. I was actually depressed coming home. So, that's kind of one way to look at it. It's look at past experiences, look at everything you've gotten through in your life, whether you have a new job coming up, an interview, again, a forced day or whatever. I've gotten through things like this before and I'll get through it again. Okay. You learn to trust yourself. Repetition and exposure to things that scare you, going outside your comfort zone consistently teaches you that you can handle anything actually when you put your mind to it. So that's why I just wanted to kind of abbreviate a bit on this book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. So we're 10 minutes in. So I'm just going to go to my kind of summary here. But you could obviously download it as an ebook or listen to it, an audiobook version of it, or buy the physical copy. But I'll jump into it anyway. So basically, the book argues that fear never fully disappears when we're grown, okay? And that's normal. So our core message is that confident people are not fearless, all right? We all feel fear. They simply learned to act despite feeling fear, all right? The goal is not to remove fear or to remove anxiety, but to build trust that you can handle whatever happens, all right? So what is the big idea behind the book? All right, so the name of the book literally says, "Feel the fear and do it anyway. Do it afraid." Okay, fear is not the problem; avoidance is. So I used to avoid so many situations when I was a teenager, like avoid going on like weekends away or holidays, etc., because of how uncomfortable it would make me feel because I would have to leave home, which was my safe space. I didn't want to feel uncomfortable, and people always say, "Oh, I'll wait until the next one," or "I'll wait until I feel ready." But readiness really comes, and what you're teaching yourself is to avoid what makes you feel uncomfortable, okay? And you're not going to grow if you don't go outside your com if you don't go outside your comfort zone. You're never going to grow. You're never going to learn to trust yourself. So instead, action creates confidence. Repetition reduces fear, okay? Doing something over and over to the point where your mind's like, this isn't scary anymore. And self-trust grows through experience. So if I didn't feel the fear and do it anyway and go on all these holidays and travel by myself, I could have easily avoided that. I could have easily said, no, not for me, thanks for the opportunity. And what happens? You're just basically intensifying the fear and you're not teaching yourself that you actually can do this, okay? So doing something over and over again, traveling by myself, going on holiday, now I just go on holiday and travel by myself, etc., and I don't feel that fear as strongly as I once did. Sometimes I feel anxiety, like traveling by myself. I hope I don't miss my connecting flight, like kind of like normal things, but I trust myself that I will get through it and that I will be okay. Now, look, someone, people listening probably think, oh God, Anya, that's such an irrational fear, but apply it to something that you fear. That could be going into the gym. That could be imagining the worst. But if you keep showing up to the gym, even if it's for 10 minutes at a time, I showed up for 10 minutes today. Tomorrow I'll show up for 15 minutes. The day after I'll go for 20 minutes, and it could be just literally walking on a treadmill. And you teach your brain that, okay, you've told me to fear this, but I've put myself in this situation now about 5 or 6 times and nothing's happened. Like, you're teaching your brain that this is actually a safe space and you trust yourself to get through it. It's playing the tape forward. So just to summarize, the formula is feel the fear, take the action anyway, and build evidence that you can survive discomfort. And that's how you become stronger. You have the evidence to prove that you've done it before, you can do it again. All right, that's kind of like the heart of the book. And then there's three levels of fear, okay? One of the most useful frameworks in this book is the three levels of fear, all right? So surface fears, like these are evidence-based fears, such as kind of everyday things that people would be afraid of, like public speaking, changing jobs, rejection, ending a relationship, launching a business, whether it be online or physically. That these are the visible fears, okay? And then you have inner state fears. So underneath the event is actually emotional fears, all right? So see these surface level fears, underneath it is actually connected to emotion. So fear of failure, helplessness, embarrassment, disappointment, being judged. And then the deepest fear, okay, is almost always, I won't be able to handle it. If I get rejected, I won't be able to handle it. If I fail, I won't be able to handle it. I won't be able to handle the embarrassment, the disappointment, the being judged. If my business fails, I won't survive it. If I end this relationship, I'll never meet anyone else, etc. That's the like real fear underneath it all. I won't be able to handle it. If I miss my connecting flight, I won't be able to handle it. If I get over there and feel lonely, in this place I've never been before, I won't be able to handle it. But once you shift from I can't handle it to I'll handle it somehow, I'll handle it. Fear loses power then because you're actually using a different narrative. Okay, if X, Y, and Z happens, I'll just do A, B, and C. I can ring someone. I can go to reception and ask them to sort something for me. I can go to the help desk. I can get someone to Revolut me money. There's always something that can be done. Okay, always. And if you can't handle it, you'll still survive. You're not going to die. Okay. And I wouldn't even use that word, I can't. You'll handle it somehow and you'll survive. And I always kind of use this kind of thought process as well. Whenever something like kind of bad happens to me or like a traumatic event, I'm going to be like, Enya, in a few weeks' time or a few months' time, this is going to be so irrelevant and you're going to be laughing about it. Like, I'll never forget the time I was in Ibiza with my friend. And I was going back a few years ago and it was a heavy few days. Like, I mean, we stayed on Ibiza Rocks and that place is like an asylum, okay? Like, nobody sleeps in that place. And, I'll stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning drinking. And then, if you go see someone at a club, like you're coming back at like 4 a.m. or something like that. If you try to go asleep on Ibiza Rocks, there is people either side of your room having parties, people running up and down corridors, slamming doors. Like, it was the one time I should have brought fucking earplugs, all right? So I didn't sleep properly for like 2 days and I was there for like 4 days. And then you're drinking, so you're not sleeping properly anyway. So I must have only got like about 2 hours of sleep each night. And I was absolutely delirious. Like, I couldn't even string a sentence together. Like, that's how bad it got, like from lack of sleep. And I was just like really, really anxious. I just wanted to go home at this stage. I was like, this is fucking hell. Like, the first 2 days, you're kind of running on adrenaline. You're really excited to be there and everyone's in good mood. And then, like, the lack of sleep and the hangovers and stuff, like, start to hit you like a ton of bricks. And we were sitting in reception waiting to go home. Our flight was like in the evening, and there was like an air traffic incident where a lot of flights were getting cancelled. And my friend had texted me and she said, just make sure that, your flight doesn't get cancelled. I know there's a lot of flights getting cancelled because of this air traffic incident. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. It's not going to happen to us. Seen a lot of European flights were getting cancelled. So we were sitting there in reception. I was like, just nobody speak to me. I just want to go home. I was literally running on petrol fumes at that stage. And I get a notification on my phone, your flight's been cancelled. And it was just me and my friend sitting there at that stage. And we were literally waiting on our taxi to go to the airport. And lucky we didn't get in it, because if we had gotten to the airport, I would have just cracked up at that stage. So we were like, oh my God, what are we gonna do? Like, what? And at that stage, my cognitive function was so low. Like, I couldn't even think properly. So, firstly, everyone was in the same boat as us all over Europe. So, the kind of thing to do was try get another flight out. But flights from Ibiza to Dublin only happen every second or third day. So it was like, right, we either stay here for another 2 days, which was my worst fucking nightmare. I just wanted to get out of that place. Or we fly from Ibiza to a UK city. There's a lot of like UK flights that go to Ibiza like every day. But of course, they were all booked because everybody else in Ibiza, who was probably from the UK, had booked alternative flights. So we ended up having to go to a hotel nearby and we were sitting on the bed trying to book a flight. Like, it took us hours, like hours. Now, lucky money wasn't an issue at that stage, but it was just, we were so tired, like so sleep deprived. We were in bad mood. We were taking the head off each other, me and my friend, and we eventually found a flight. Okay, Ibiza to Santander and Santander to Dublin. All right, and there was like a 2 hour layover in Santander. Actually, no, I think it was 5 hours. But it wasn't for another 2 days, so we had to stay another 2 nights in fucking Ibiza, right? Which was my worst nightmare. But silver lining, all right. What could have been something that would have been a nightmare? We actually got a really, really good night's sleep. Okay, we booked a flight somehow, just barely through petrol fumes. Like, I don't know how we didn't make any mistakes because we just weren't even coherent at that stage. We got a solid 8 to 9 hour sleep. We felt a lot fresher the next day, and we went over to a beach club the following day, and we didn't drink. We just laid by a pool because the hotel that we were staying in didn't have a pool. We went over to, I think it was called like the Ibiza Star or something like that, or the Beach Star Hotel. We laid by the pool, we got food, and we just relaxed for the whole day. And it was actually, because I was even dreading going to the airport the day that we were supposed to leave. I was like, I can't physically go through security with how I'm feeling. And, FYI, never stay in Ibiza Rocks. It's the worst fucking hotel if you plan to like sleep on a holiday. But I was already dreading going through the airport, going through security, because you just need your wits about you. Take your laptops out of the bag, take this. Because I was actually, I had to answer emails and stuff while I was away. So I did bring like my small laptop with me. And I was just dreading it. Like, I just wished I could have blinked when I was in the hotel reception and just would have been home and just not had to go through the airport. So number one, I was delighted we got an 8 hour sleep. We got to relax the whole next day, and then the following day is when we were going home. So we were actually like really, really fresh going home. And that was the silver lining. So, I felt completely different, going home than what I would have felt if the flight wasn't cancelled. But we got through it. That has never happened to me on a holiday, and it's something I never anticipate. What if our flight gets cancelled? What will we do? That's something I never worry about. So 90% of the things that we do worry about never happen. And it's always the stuff that you don't worry about, that actually comes out of the blue and hits you like a ton of bricks. I never anticipated my flight getting cancelled, but when it happened, I handled it and we got through it, and we booked a connecting flight and we got out there and we made it home. Okay, and I was just so thankful that I had nothing on those 2 days that we had to stay extra, whether it was a show or something like that, or I had to be somewhere, or I had a paid job or something. Like, that was the silver lining as well. So yeah, we got through it. So that's just an incident. And I can't think of anything else off the top of my head that was like, whoa, like this is something I didn't expect, that like just kind of came out of the woodwork. But that's just an example. But anyway, just another topic I'll cover within the book is trust yourself. So one of the book's most powerful lesson is security is not knowing the outcome, it's knowing you can handle the outcome. All right, so if you are worrying about the worst possible scenario, you'll still handle it. Okay, if the worst possible scenario does happen, you'll still handle it. Okay, and this actually applies to people who have lost a parent. All right, now I still have both parents. And my biggest fear is losing my mother. Like, I actually am getting really, really bad anxiety about that lately. And it's one of my worst fears, because I see how it's affected, my friends or people that I do know who've lost a parent. And I have such a close relationship with her, and I just honestly could not envision life without her. And I talk to my friends who have lost their mother, and I say, how did you do it? Like, how did you get through it? And they say, you think you won't be able to handle it, but you have no choice but to. The world keeps spinning, and even though you're absolutely devastated and you're grieving, you find ways to keep going. So that kind of reassures me that even if the worst thing, your biggest fear in life happens, you'll get through it. Because my mother lost her mother, and here she is still surviving, and now she has two kids. And God forbid, she always says to me, I hope I outlive you, or sorry, I hope you outlive me. And yeah, that's and someone who's lost, a grandparent, a brother, a sibling, a child, like, that's someone's biggest fear, but they still live to tell the tale, and they've still gotten through it. But the people think confidence comes from certainty. Okay, if I know exactly what's going to happen, I'll be confident that I can get through, okay? But confidence actually comes from self-trust in uncertainty. So, all right, the worst happened and I got through it, and that builds confidence, because when something like that pops up again, you'll know that you can get through it. And it teaches emotional resilience, not just motivation. And then action comes before confidence. So one of the most memorable ideas from this book is, you do not wait to feel confident, because you never will feel confident. You're not going to wake up one day and feel confident. You become confident because you acted. Okay, this is huge, to help reframe your courage as a practice, so not a personality trait. Okay, you have to practice it. You're not born with it. Confidence is evidence collected through action, right? And again, you have to build confidence by taking action, or you build confidence by taking action, I should say. So the more times you survive scary situations, the less scary they become. That's what exposure therapy is called. So people who might have a fear of snakes or a fear of spiders, etc., because you don't see them as often, because you avoid them, okay? And look, that's fair enough. You hate spiders. It's not something we see every day, But if you were to see them time and time again, you would realize nothing's actually happened to me when I've been in the presence of spiders. Okay, so you start to teach your brain that this is actually not that scary. I used to have a huge fear of being sick, like getting sick. I don't know why, I don't know where it came from. It's because I never used to be that sick growing up. I never used to get vomiting bugs or anything like that. So when it happened very rarely, I would like shit myself, like not literally, but I'd be terrified because I was just wasn't familiar with like the way my body would act when I was getting sick and stuff. And I hated the sight of it. I hated seeing other people being sick, like because it's something that I didn't see often. So when it happened, I freaked out. But then what started happening was when I got older, if I was like hungover or something, or if I did get a bug or I ate something dodgy, I would get sick a little bit more frequently than I would when I was a kid. And then I started learning, like, actually, do you know what? When I get sick, I actually feel so much better. Like, obviously, the sensation of waiting to get sick is always horrible, but afterwards, you actually feel so much better. So, you know, it taught me that, like, right, this is something that you used to be terrified of. Now you're like, I hope I do get sick because now I'll feel better. And everyone gets sick. It's part of life. Like, I used to travel around with a bag in my pocket when I was like a teenager, like in school, because I used to think, what if I get sick? And I never would get sick. You know, it's just such an irrational fear. And I just see people who don't even give a shit if they get sick in public. Like they'll just do it and just walk away, and they'll just do it and get on with things. And I used to be just fascinated by that because I used to be like paralyzed from fear in case that happened to me in public, because fear of rejection, fear of being judged and stuff. And then when it happens, you're like, fuck people, I'm never going to see these people again. If that happens, they're not even going to remember this tomorrow, and you're going to laugh about it in a few days, you know? And then stop playing the when. Sorry, my screen just went off there. Stop playing the when slash then game. So when I lose weight, then I'll date someone. When I'm more confident, then I'll start. When I know more, then I'll launch, okay? The mind uses perfection and preparation as like a sophisticated form of procrastination, right? And you know, a lot of people say to me as well, oh, when I lose weight, then I'll start going to the gym to build muscle. Why can't you do both? Why can't you do them simultaneously? Because you're actually slowing things down then, because oh, you've lost all the weight. Now you're starting from square one to build like a physique when you could be doing a fit simultaneously. Or when this holiday is out of the way, I'll try lose weight. When this wedding, this party, this event, X, Y, and Z, like you're never going to be fully ready. Life is always going to be throwing things at you. So it's better to just start and navigate through them, because most of the time you are going to be at home and you are going to be able to track your food. And like these events, social occasions are just drops in the ocean, a grain of sand compared to your overall journey. Okay. So I suppose the solution to this is movement before certainty. Just do it anyway. And, you know, you'll cope as things go on. And responsibility equals power. So the moment we blame circumstances, other people, timing, fear itself, we give away our power. All right, so what is the most empowered response available to me right now? Okay. So basically when we blame other people or like timing or fear, etc., like that, we're giving away our power when, you know, we have to ask ourselves, what can I do now? What can I learn? And I always say that to people, okay, so you couldn't go to the gym this week, but you still got your steps in and you're still setting your deficit. Okay, you have this big wedding on this weekend. Again, grain of sand in the grand scheme of your 10-week deficit. Like when you start blaming things, it's like an excuse to not start or an excuse to not make progress. You know, you're giving away your power to things that you can't control, but you can also just do what you can in the meantime, you know? And then I suppose to kind of like finish up, right? I just want you to ask yourself these few questions, okay? Think about the thing you keep postponing because you don't feel ready, all right? Fear never leaves when growth is involved, okay? It doesn't. And fear is natural. Fear is it's your body trying to, it's your mind trying to protect you. But the real fear is not failure. It's the belief that you can't handle failure, okay? You won't be able to handle if you go into the gym and someone laughs at you, which won't happen, all right? It's very, very rare that happens. And if it does, that says more about that person than it does about you. But you'll survive it, and you'll probably, you know, forget about it in a couple of days' time, and you'll show up again, and it won't happen again. It's very rare something like that would happen, you know, twice in a row. But you'll survive it, and you'll get through it, and you'll get through something much worse in the future also. All right. So what I want you to ask yourself is, what are you avoiding right now because of fear? What's the story that you're telling yourself? What are you saying to yourself? Are you catastrophizing? Are you spiraling? Are you looking for reasons to avoid a situation? And are they fact or fiction? And what tiny brave action can I take today? And that could be going to the gym. Just walk in for 10 minutes, stand on the treadmill. Nobody's going to know it's your first day. Nobody is going to know that. Only you know that. And that's you putting thoughts in other people's minds that they think it's your first day and they know it's your first day. Oh, they'll know by the way I'm walking that it's my first day. They won't, okay? Have a look around the gym while you're on the treadmill. Leave then after 10 minutes. Go back the following day. Stay on the treadmill for 20 minutes. Have a look around the gym. Look at the machines while you're on the treadmill. Look at people using the machines. How are they using them? What way is the gym set up? What section will I go to tomorrow if I want to attempt to use a dumbbell? Okay, little things like that. So just to summarize, confidence is built by evidence, not by thinking. Okay, you can't think your way to out of a fear. It's doing it. It's taking action. All right, and you build confidence by doing something and proving to yourself, I didn't die and I survived. Okay, I have evidence that I've done this multiple times before. So why am I so worried about this again? I need to take a page of my own book. Going to Australia now next week. I'm worrying about being on my own in airports. That's the inner child. I'm a 24-year-old woman. I'm gonna have to get used to traveling by myself. And it's actually kind of a bit nice traveling by yourself as well, because you don't have to worry about, oh, will you wait outside? Will I go to toilet? Will you come to this shop? I want to buy this. You can just do what you want. I found that, very liberating while I was on my solo holiday. I got to eat where I wanted. I got to do what I wanted. I didn't have to live on someone else's itinerary, you know? But this will be, I'll do one more podcast next Monday before I go. And I don't know what I'm going to do the podcast when I'm away, to be honest. Like, I kind of want to switch off. I just have a packed itinerary. Like, it won't be my priority. If I do manage to do one, I'll do one, but I'm not going to put pressure on myself. And they will obviously continue once I am back. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I finish up my calorie deficit obviously this week as well. I am in the 55 kg bracket now. I start at 61 kg, and it's gas because last year when I came home from Australia, I was 66 kg, and I was 63 kg going over, and I just overindulged. I enjoyed all the local cuisine, had a few drinks, didn't worry about calories, just wanted to enjoy myself, and so be it. I also wasn't in a calorie deficit at all for the first half of last year because I had already been on 3 holidays in Lanzarote, New York, went to Arizona for work, and then obviously went to Thailand and Australia. And I couldn't go into a calorie deficit because I was training for half marathons. So the minute I got home from Australia, I got myself back down then to 61 kg with a calorie deficit. That was the end of August I finished up. And then yeah, my next calorie deficit was the start of this year in January. So it's funny how I'm 55 kg going over now to Australia this time. I'm literally 8 kg lighter than I was going over last year. So yeah, I feel lean, tan, fit and ready. And it was more like body recomp, body recomposition, where I've been building muscle all year, and I was kind of at my maintenance weight, which is around 60, 61 kg, and I wanted to pull off some body fat to reveal my muscle. So I can really, really see my muscles pop now and stuff, and my arms as well are a lot more toned just because there's less body fat there now. And yeah, I obviously a size 8 now as well, like, and I keep all my size 8 stuff up in the attic or up at the top of my wardrobe for holidays and stuff like that. I actually haven't been this way since summer 2024. So look, it's dragged in and it's flown in as well, like this calorie deficit, but I won't be sorry to see the back of it anyway, and I probably won't be in one for the rest of the year. Like, when I come home, I'm gonna get back into the running because I was in a calorie deficit. I didn't really want to focus on running and PBs and stuff like that because I wouldn't have the fuel in me to do that, But I am obviously a lot lighter than I was when I was running in the marathon in October, which was 61, 62 kg. And I haven't ran since the marathon due to my injury. Now I'm injury free now, and when I come back from Australia at the start of May, I'll be home. I'll be away for 3 weeks, and I'll start getting back into the running, and I obviously will be a whole lot lighter, so I might be a little bit quicker, the laws of physics and stuff like that. But because I haven't ran, I'll still probably have to build up a bit of momentum and a bit of fitness again in terms of running. Like, I've been on the Stairmaster and the bike and the cross trainer and stuff like that in the gym for cardio purposes to burn more calories while I'm in this deficit, but it's just not the same as running, it's a different beast altogether. So I'm looking forward to get back into that. And yeah, that's where we're at. So I will have one more podcast up before I head away, but I hope this podcast has helped. Whether, I don't know what type of fear you're experiencing at the moment or what type of anxiety you have, etc. But I hope this podcast has helped maybe kind of like give you a good mindset shift and just kind of think differently in those situations, because it certainly helps me like bring me back to reality. But I hope you have a lovely week, a great week, and I will talk to you all soon.